God, we thank you this evening for the fact that you are for us. You are not against us. And yet at times, for some of us, maybe even here this evening, we have done things in the eyes of the public that aren't good. And sometimes we equate how people respond and think that that's how you respond against us because of what we have done in our past. But that is not the case. You are not against us. You are for us. You're for the true us, who we really are, who you have created us to be. And yet, it seems at times that our past can easily try to define us. Those words that people are against us, the words that they have spoken over us, can often identify who we are, but that is not true. We are not defined by our past. We are not defined by what people say about us. We are not defined by what we even say about ourselves. We are defined by what you say about us, because you're our creator and you are for us, not against us. We are yours and you are ours. You are with us right now. May the wonder and splendor of that reality be made known within the very essence of who we are this evening. That there is nothing on this entire planet, there is nothing within all the universes, there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And so may your love continue to penetrate us, to penetrate our hearts, and to move in and through us, transforming us again and again and again into who you have created us to be. We take this evening to celebrate that. We take this evening to sit with that. We take this evening to be with you and each other. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. In your name, we all said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. How are we doing this evening? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. All right. I remember I was like 15, I think, or so, around that time, and it was Christmas time, and I opened up the present, and it was like the big present that I was going to get. And it wasn't a big box, so I was like, you know, already judging the gift, because normally the best gift is probably in a big box, or at least you would think. And so I opened up the gift, and they were UGG boots. I'm like, oh, cool. And I had to be careful of my response. You got to be careful in how you respond when you open up gifts. And I was careful with my response. I'm like, UGG boots. Oh, that's so awesome. And, you know, my parents are like, yeah, UGG boots. I'm like, yeah, all right. And just in case you don't know about UGG boots, before they were hijacked by Paris Hilton and her clan and made them solely female, they were not just female shoes. They actually originated in Australia with Australian pilots, and in the cabin they got so cold that they created these kinds of boots called UGG boots. They were like pilot boots, okay? So just to kind of dignify it for the males here, when it comes to UGG boots, they are male and female, and so I knew that. So I knew when I got the UGG boots, I wasn't thinking, oh, those are girl shoes. I was thinking like, oh, UGG boots, cool. And I didn't really recognize how much that gift mattered to me, because now, after 15 years, I still have those pairs of UGG boots, and I bring them everywhere with me when it comes to camping. And now I camp a lot, and it's like my necessity. We went camping a couple weekends ago, and my wife, I didn't have time to pack my stuff. Normally I pack my stuff, but I didn't have time. My wife's like, hey, I got you your stuff. You're good to go. And she didn't bring my UGG boots. What? I needed them. And at the time, though, I didn't recognize how great that gift was. That when I unpacked the gift and I saw the gift for what it was, I was like, huh? But now when I look back, I'm like, oh my goodness, that gift was really awesome. And I still have it today. And here's the reality when it comes to the Christian faith, is that you receive a gift, that God has given you a gift, and that is the gift of life eternal life, and there's so much in that. And yet, oftentimes we see that gift, and when we see it, we're like, yeah, but over time we're like, well, I don't really know too much about this. That we don't really fully unpack it and experience the fullness of it. And so our response to it can often be like, well, I don't know. And so what I want to do this evening is I want to look at a response. It's Mary's response to the news that she gets that she is going to have this gift of having the Savior, giving birth to the Savior. It's this gift, and you're going to watch her response, and her response is very human. I love her response in this. And we're going to begin to navigate her response. We're going to be looking at that. And when we navigate through her response, I want you to think about your life and your relationship with God and what He is calling you to. And maybe you can begin to see some correlation between Mary's response and your response when it comes to your relationship with God or lack thereof. Okay? So it says this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. And I want to look at that last verse there. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So here's what's going on. All of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, "Greetings." Now, if an angel showed up to you and said that, you would probably respond the same way Mary would respond, right? Like, okay, what is going on here? She is confused and disturbed. And yet what I think for some of us when it comes to the belief in Christianity is that some people outside of that spectrum look at those who believe in God and they think, well, they must just believe for the sake of believing. There must not be that much thought to it. They just kind of believe it for the sake of believing. They don't really think thoughtfully. They don't really use their mind. They don't really kind of spend a lot of time to it. That they're kind of like the people in the past and ancient times where they just kind of believe this stuff for the sake of believing it. Now, while that might be true for some people, but for many of us, it's not. That our response to our relationship with God has come with thought, has come with a lot of wrestling, has come with a lot of doubt and skepticism, has come with a lot of like, man, is this, what is this? Is this really happening to me? There's a lot of thought process to it. And for Mary, that's what she's doing here. Is she sees an angel and she becomes confused, disturbed, and then it says that she tried to think what the angel could mean. She didn't just go, "Oh, it's an angel." She's like, "What are you doing?" And trying to think in Greek means that she is auditing the situation. She's making an audit, which has to do with adding things up or weighing and pondering to be intensely rational, like all accountants are intensely rational. Where they're focused, and I sit in meetings with them, and I'm like, "Can we just flex a little bit over here?" "No, Sean, no flexing. Black, white, numbers, that's it." I'm like, "Ha, okay, all right, we will do that. No problem," right? She is pondering, she is focusing in on this. What is she pondering? She's pondering, am I hallucinating? Am I seeing stuff? What's going on here? What is this angel doing here? What is happening here? How can this be? And what Mary is showing us is that responding in faith isn't necessarily a blind thing that we do. That for most of us, it's not a blind thing. For most of us, it is a whole person experience that includes our intellect, that includes our brains. And I've noticed that for modern people, they tend to think that, man, most people who have faith and believe, they just kind of believe with blind faith, but that's just not true. Some assume, but it's not true. When you look at Mary's situation, she is pondering, thinking deeply about what's happening. Which, to be honest, if you and I, if there were an angel to show up in front of us, we would do the same thing. We'd be like, "What in the world is going on? What in the world is happening?" And for her, This is just like earth shaking. She is freaking out. She is doubting the situation that's at hand. Which I want to talk a little bit about doubt. Because you look at, there's two people in the Christmas narrative where angels show up and they begin to question it. One is Mary and the other one is Zechariah. And a couple weekends ago, we learned about Zechariah, and when he questioned the angel Gabriel, same angel, angel Gabriel turned to mute for 9 months. He's like, oh no, you ain't gonna doubt what I'm gonna say. Shut it, right? But yet for Mary, it was a good thing. For Mary, she begins to question, like, what? She begins to ponder, like, what is going on here? What is happening here? So what about doubt? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Some people say that, oh man, when it comes to doubt, it is absolutely necessary. When it comes to being skeptical, it is necessary and it is healthy in our faith journey. And then other people say, no, you can't doubt, have faith. Stop doubting, have faith. You can't be like the wind. You gotta have faith, you gotta trust, no doubt. No doubting, no doubting. So what is it? You see this situation, and what is it? Well, when you read Scripture, you'll begin to see that when it comes to doubting, Scripture is very nuanced with it. And ultimately, it boils down to this thing with doubt when it comes to our perceptions. That there's a kind of doubt that is the sign of a closed mind, and there's a kind of doubt that is the sign of an open mind. To some, doubting, they seek answers, that the reason why they're doubting is pushing themselves to seek answers, and for some, to doubt is a defense against the possibility of answers. Mary's doubt pushed her to seek answers, whereas Zechariah's doubt was a defense mechanism against reality or the answers. The question then becomes, when you doubt, which one is it? Is it a defense mechanism to hold back from knowing anymore? I'm doubting this, I don't want to because I don't want to go there. Or is your doubt pushing you to discover more of who God is? And for Mary, she doubts, but doubts with an open mind, willing and ready to see things differently and knowing she can't fully see all of it to begin with. And so she begins to think deeply, she begins to audit, she begins to respond thoughtfully. And my hope and prayer is that for all of us here, that when I'm sharing stuff, you may not agree with it. That's awesome. So be it. Don't just believe what I say. That's not going to hold up a lot when you come to God, when you're like, well, Sean said, and he's like, I don't care what he said. He's like, what? Listen to me, right? And there were people in Acts when Paul would preach and he would say some stuff, there were some people in Acts and they would say, well, we like what you're saying, but we're going to go look at the scriptures and read it for ourselves. Fantastic. Please, everyone do that. That's called being a Berean. Those are the Bereans. The Bereans would do that. In the Christian circles, if you've been a Christian for a while, you might have heard that. Be a Berean, which is basically saying, don't just listen to the guy talking on stage and take it as for face value, but go and search it for yourself, right? Own it. Experience it. Search it for yourself. Think thoughtfully about what you are seeing, experiencing, hearing. And that's what Mary's doing. Is she's responding thoughtfully to the situation. She is thinking deeply about this angel showing up. And then next, what we see is that Mary begins to gradually take her thought process deeper. She begins to take it a little bit more further into what this angel is all about. And that's what the faith journey is like. Is that it is this gradual process of God leading us into more understanding of who he is and who you are. And many of us know that. That there are specific moments in our faith journey where we're like, ah, aha, that's what that's all about. Oh, I get it. But for the most part, he is subtly leading us, gently leading us, graciously leading us into more understanding of who he is and who we are. And we're on this faith journey, discovering it. And Mary recognizes that and is moving in that and seeing, okay, there's an angel here. I'm going to take that. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to really process this. And then I'm going to begin to keep taking that next step further. And the angel recognizes this and says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." I can only imagine her face is just like, "Huh? What in the world? Don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." It's like you hear all this stuff like, and then Mary's response to the angel is, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Right? She's thinking biologically. What in the world are you talking about? How is that even possible? So she's already thinking about the situation. She's already confused. She's disturbed. She's thinking about it thoughtfully. And she's looking at this going, give me a little bit more of a reaction. How can this even happen? And that tone of voice, if you're reading in the Greek, that tone of voice is, are you crazy? It's not like, well, how do you think this can happen? It's like, how is this even possible? Are you crazy? But yet in that phrase, how is that even possible? There's still this subtleness of like, okay, tell me more. How is this even possible? Are you crazy? It's not how this is impossible. Shut up. It's how this is impossible. How is this impossible? Tell me more. I want to know more. It's what that's evoking when she's saying that question. And so the angel replies and says, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That has imagery of Genesis 1, where the Spirit of God was hovering over. And that hovering over, that overshadowing, is this imagery of like a chicken brooding over its eggs, that it's hovering over, that it's like an incubator almost, that the Spirit of God is going to hover over you, and this miracle is going to happen within you, and you're going to give birth to this baby who will be holy, he says, and will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, and here's where things begin to shift for her. It says, what's more? Is your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant. Keep in mind, this is the one who was barren, who couldn't have kids. Mary knows this. Mary knows about Elizabeth's turmoil. Mary knows about her situation. And the angel's saying, what's more is your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. And so what happens here is what Mary does is she begins to question further what's going on with the angel. Okay, how's that even possible? And as she begins to question further, God begins to gradually lead her along to where she can begin to go, oh, I kind of get it. To which leads her to this simple answer where she responds and says, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Now notice she's not saying, oh, it's so clear now. I get it. This is fantastic. That's not what she says. She doesn't say that. She also doesn't say, wow, I absolutely love this plan. This is a fantastic plan. I'm so glad that you cleared this up for me. This all makes sense. No, she doesn't say that. She just simply answers, okay, I'm going to follow. I guess this is what I'm going to do. Now for us, for many of us, we won't move forward with Jesus unless it all comes together, huh? We got to see all those chips in line before we take that next step of faith, emotionally, personally, rationally. Then when we feel God pushing us somewhere, we're like, okay, let's see it all planned out, and then I'll do it, and then I'll make it happen. But all the stars got to align, and then I'm going to do it. All my finances need to be in place. I got to have this in line, that in line, that in line. But sometimes you can only do what Mary does, and submit and trust despite the fears and reservations. But sometimes when it comes to life and our decision-making process, there's just a little foothold. There's just a little thing we got to hold on to that he gives us, saying, I want you to trust me in this. And we hold on to that just a little bit, and we move forward with it. And for Mary, that's what she has. She has just a little foothold. And that is that she can bounce this off to someone else that she knows. Elizabeth. There's a foothold there. Okay. Not everyone's going to think I'm crazy. Because Elizabeth has something there too. There's just a little foothold. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. that when it comes to our relationship with God, he ain't going to show you the whole staircase. If you saw the whole staircase, you would freak out and then get bored. It's not how it works. We take steps of faith. When God presents something to us, sometimes we see it and we're like, I don't know about that. This just looks like Ugg boots. What is that? What is that? I don't really understand that. I don't really like that. I don't really know what that is. I don't really want to do that. Is that what you want me to do? I don't want to do public speaking. I'm afraid of that. I'm not into that. That's not my thing. That's not what I'm all about. At least that's what I said like 12 years ago. Well, look where I am, right? That's what I do. And I love it, right? It's just, what is that? I don't know what that is. And God's saying, no, I got something for you. And this is how Mary's moving forward in the response to the news. She's thinking, she's responding thoughtfully. She's responding gradually. She's looking at it, she's questioning it. And then she realizes, okay, you know what? I just got to accept this and just move forward with this. I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to go with it because I know God is bigger than I am. I'm going to go with it because I know he does things that I don't quite understand it sometimes, but I'm just going to go with it and trust him in it. I'm just going to simply respond, okay, you know what? I'm your servant. I'm going to do it. Oh, it does not make any sense. I have no idea what you're talking about. A virgin who is pregnant does not make sense at all, but I'm going to go with it. I'm going to take that step forward. I'm going to make it happen, and I have got something. Elizabeth. Elizabeth is just that little foothold that she can kind of step forward and be like, okay, I'm going to bounce this off of her. I'm going to see what this is all about. I'm going to see what's going on here. Verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. She finds out Elizabeth's pregnant, right? I got someone I can go talk to. Well, watch what happens here. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, Mary's coming up, Elizabeth, I'm here, cousins, right? All of a sudden, John the Baptist, right, inside of her belly, John, he moves, and all of a sudden, she feels the presence of God. That didn't happen back then. Her husband encountered the presence of God because he was able to go into the Holy of Holies, because he's a priest and he got selected in this whole thing. But besides that, he got to experience the presence of God. But the presence of God was at the temple back then. It wasn't everywhere. And all of a sudden, she is filled with the presence of God, where she must have been like, okay, something's going on here. What is this? What is this going on here? And then verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, and she started speaking blessing over Mary. Mary hasn't said a single word about what she's encountered yet. She has said nothing. She has just come to show up and say, Elizabeth, here I am. And all of a sudden, Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Spirit and says, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. And Mary's like, you've got to be kidding me. Right? Like, she said nothing. It's like, oh, what is going on? I needed to bounce something off you. And what I'm getting is an answer to my doubts. Verse 43, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? This is Elizabeth's cousin. And now Elizabeth's cousin is labeled the mother of my Lord. Mary's like, Mary, remember? Part of the family. But she's saying, no, this is something completely, something has changed here, something is completely different. Verse 44, when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You are blessed because you believed, because you trusted. And there Mary's going, I haven't even told you what's going on yet. And yet she doesn't even have to. Because why? Because the Spirit of God is already connecting all of these dots. And as a result of her initial doubt, as a result of her initial questioning, she begins to see, oh my goodness, this is far greater than I thought. This is so much more than just Ugg boots. This is way more awesome. This is so much more than what I initially thought this could be. This is actually true. And for some of us, we hear these things about God. We hear this stuff about God, and we're like, okay, I'm intrigued. I don't really know what that is, but I'm going to discover it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to process it. I'm going to think a little bit more deeply. I'm going to ask a little bit more questions. And you ask some more questions and more questions. And all of a sudden, God shows up, and the Spirit of God falls on you. You're like, oh, I'm done. What is this? Right? And that's why many of you are here. And that's why you're sitting here listening to me. It's because God has gripped your heart. It doesn't quite make sense fully, but you're in it and you're like, oh, I want more. And that's what happens to Mary. She connects the dots and goes, oh my goodness, God, you were up to something. And as a result, this is what she says. She says, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And what's happened here is she has connected the dots. She sees what the angel has told her to be true. She begins to see all the Hebrew scripture in light of it and the reality of it, backing it all up. And all this stuff begins to make sense. And as a result, joy is being filled within her heart. It's one of those moments where things just start to make sense, that she transcends all the what ifs, she transcends all the stuff that could go wrong, and the essence of who she is just begins to shout out with joy. And what we see that is in the end, faith always moves beyond mental assent. Faith always pushes beyond duty and will involve the whole self. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. That faith goes beyond that and just says, yes, our full selves get wrapped up into all of it. To where we can't even control it, to where we just shout out with praise. It's a process in which God is guiding us, opening our hearts and helping us break through our prejudices, our denials, our self-will. He gently guides us to greater reality of who he is and who we are in the midst of all of it. And often what happens is that we discover things that we find that once didn't seem much, we begin to see things from a whole another perspective where it deepens us. It deepens our understanding. It expands our heart to love more. And we begin to see ourselves being made new to where people once saw us as this. They're now like, who are you? What is that? And what that is God renewing you again and again, and again, and again. That as you grow in relationship with God, he is changing you into who he's created you to be. Did you know that your body naturally already does that for the most part? Did you get new skin every 2 to 4 weeks? That's why you got so much dust in your house. Where do you think that stuff goes? It's disgusting, I know. You gotta dust often, right? I mean, there's things that we do lose that never get renewed, like enamel on our teeth. That goes bye-bye. You don't take care of your teeth, that goes bye-bye too, right? But our body, it renews itself for the most part. A lot of things, it renews itself. And spiritually, we are renewed too. That the essence, the soul, who we are, God begins to renew it. And we become new creations over and over and over again to where you look at yourself 10 years ago. Look at yourself 10 years ago. Think about that for a second. What were you like? Now look at yourself now. You are different. Biologically, yeah. But also spiritually, that you begin to see that God is with you, guiding you, gently guiding you, and he's changing you into a better, newer you. And you begin to discover more and more and more of who you truly are as you are with him. And it's sometimes those moments where you see it and you're like, oh, wow, that is unbelievable. That is so good. You are making me new again and again and again. And this whole process for Mary, she begins to discover that. I thought I was once this lowly servant girl, but oh my goodness, God, you are doing something wonderful within me. I didn't even think about that. Whoa, my soul rejoices in the reality of who you have created me to be. She had a low self-esteem about who she was because of her place and where she is. She's nothing. She's just a 15-year-old girl in no man's land, Nazareth. Little town, middle of nowhere. And God's saying, I see you, and you are more than who you think you are. And the same goes for you and me. And when we discover that, that how when we begin to see how God sees us, our response will be like Mary's, with wonder, like, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. When Mary says that my soul praises the Lord, that her spirit rejoices, the soul, spirit, it's the same thing. It's just a way of emphasizing it more, that this the depth of who she is just shouting that she is swept up in the moment, that she is smitten, that the whole thing is just like, this is unbelievable, this is so good. And when you think about church, you think about Christianity, often we think about Christianity mainly going to church, believing a certain creed and living a certain kind of life. And I'm like, well, where's the wonder in that? Because that kind of viewpoint, it's everything is done by us. We go to church. We believe things. We live a certain life. But if Christianity is something done for you, to you, and in you, then there is a constant reality of surprise and wonder as you recognize that God is moving in and through you all the time. John Newton, which you don't have to know the guy, but he wrote a hymn. Check this out. I love this hymn personally. I love the first line a lot. He says, let us love and sing in wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. Praise God. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. He has washed us with his blood. He has brought us nigh to God. Let us love and sing in wonder of who God is and how he moves in and through us and around us and behind us and before us. He is always around us, gradually guiding us along to see more of his beauty in the world around us and also ourselves. And so Mary begins to discover this. And she shouts with praise and wonder and awe of his creation, in awe of what he is doing in and through her. So you look at this process. She encounters this angel and she's like, what is going on? But it propels her to be thoughtful about it. And then she gradually begins to think more about it. And then she just says, you know what? I'm going to accept this situation and I'm going to step into it. And as she steps into it, she begins to see God's movement. And she begins to recognize his wonder in all of it. And then she responds with a willing surrender. If you go back to the verse where she says, I am the Lord's servant. That's not like her gritting her teeth saying, okay, you hold the cards. I guess I got to do what you got to say. No, she's recognizing, okay, you know what? You are bigger than all of this. You are bigger than all of this. Just think about distances for a second. If the distance between the earth and the sun is 93 million miles, and let's just say that that distance was no more thicker than this than a piece of paper, right? That's the distance. 93 million miles, this is the distance. Well, the distance between the earth and the nearest star would be a stack about 70 papers, will be a stack about papers 70 feet high. That's a pretty far distance, right? And then if you were to take the distance of the Milky Way, the galaxy, that would be a stack of papers about 300 miles high. So you look at ourselves. We're just a little planet in the midst of a huge galaxy. And there are so many galaxies out in the universe that we can't number them all. Some people say it's more than the grains of sand. Are you kidding me? That's huge. That's massive. And then you go to a subatomic level, and then you realize that nothing is actually touching anything. And you're like, what? What's holding it all together? What's holding all of that together? And then you read verses like in Hebrews where it says the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Jesus sustains everything. And Colossians says that he is the glue to it all. That he is the connection, the source to all of this. That he is so grand, that he is so big, that when he calls us to something, and for Mary's view of God, it's like, okay, I'm going to do it. And when he calls you to something, okay, I'm going to do it. You're bigger than I am. You're a lot bigger than I am. You are sustaining all of this. Do we make the sun rise and set? No. Right? And often he used to say to people, his followers, hey, look at those birds. Do you feed them? No, I don't. What do you got to worry about then? Stop worrying. I got you. I got you. It's okay. Trust me in this. And so for Mary, she's like, this doesn't make any sense. My status is going to go lower than it could be already. This is going to be horrible, but I'm just going to step into this and be like, oh my goodness. And then she realizes, wait, this isn't just horrible. This is unbelievably amazing. Jesus once said to people, he said, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Are you like that? He then reasoned that God is infinitely more generous than earthly fathers and will give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks for it. And the same thing goes for you and me. When we ask God, okay, God, what do you have for me? What's my place within your kingdom? What are you calling me to? What is it? Mary's got this call. What are you going to give me? And when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, wait, Ugg boots. That's not my call. So we'll just take a second, take a step back and think about it. Or, oh, wait, that makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. Think about it for a second and begin to question God. But question him not in a way to block him. Question him in a way to discover more of it. And as you begin to question him, there's got to come a point where there's a line where you're going to say, you know what? I'm just going to accept it. I'm going to step into it. And as you do, watch as this journey of faith begins to unfold and you begin to unpack that gift that he has for you and you begin to discover, oh my goodness, Christianity isn't just this thing that I believe in and think of. There is this whole adventure awaiting for me to discover. That God is alive and active and inviting you into it. And Mary begins to discover it because she obeyed what God was telling her to do. Now, she didn't just go, oh, this is fantastic, right? No, she questioned it. Question it. Question it to pieces. But there's going to come a point where you're going to have to take a step of faith and say, you know what? I don't see the whole staircase, but I'm going to move and I'm going to try it out. I'm going to see what's going to happen. And we can trust to know that if God is good, he is not going to give us a bunch of snakes. Now, it doesn't mean that the Christian life is easy. And that's hard. It's difficult. And what we discover is that in the difficultness of life, with God, he redeems it. And that often becomes the greatest thing in our life. It's a weird paradox. But that's what Paul says in this. He says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Look at that, renewed every day. Your skin renews every 2 to 4 weeks. You're getting renewed every day. That's fantastic, right? Moving on. Verse 17, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You've got problems, you've got turmoil, you've got stuff. Yes, and God uses that and redeems it for his glory. Builds us up. We trust him more, we fall in love with him more, we see him more. And ultimately, these things that we wrestle with now are only there for a season. In light of eternity and what's going on. They're not permanent. It's just a season. So we push forward. We keep moving forward. In some mysterious way, the troubles and the suffering refine us like gold and turn us inwardly and spiritually into something beautiful and great. You look at Mary herself, the girl, no more than 15 years old, bottom of the social ladder, knew that surrendering to God's will would be even lower than where she was. Because anyone claiming that they are pregnant by God is psycho. I think she knew that. And I think she knew what it meant when she said that I am the Lord's servant. Yet look at her today, and she's one of the most known people across the globe. Sometimes she's maybe treated a little bit more than she probably would think. As people really highlight her a lot. But at the end of the day, I think some verses ring true when you read things like those who exalt themselves will be humbled and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Mary, her response, surrender. Her response, don't quite understand all that's going on, and I'm not going to get there if I do it, but I'm going to surrender. I'm going to humble myself. It's not going to be easy, But God, if this is what you have for me, this is what I want, because you are greater than anything that I could ever imagine. You are the one who sustains everything, all things. You're in it. You are with me. I'm going to let it go. My hope and prayer is that all of us, when it comes to our life, when it comes to our faith journey, will respond as Mary responds. That there's going to come a moment where you're going to be like, wait, is that what you want me to do? Is that what's going on? And begin to unpack it. Think through it, and then take that step of faith and see what God has for you in it, and watch and see as you surrender it, as you give up your life, so to speak, for him, that you receive life and more life in its fullness as you begin or continue the journey of faith with God. May we respond like Mary and surrender. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for how you move in our lives, how you are always there, and we are not always there because we're stuck in things, we're doing stuff. And so, God, I ask right now that in this place where we are, that you would speak to us. God, what's our place in the kingdom? What do you have for us? What are you calling us to? For some of us, we know, but maybe we are a bit afraid to step out into it. And so as we sit in that questioning, may we continue to question. And may we continue to question, but question with the sake of looking for, seeking for more further understanding. But there's got to come a point where we take that step of faith into what you're calling us to do. And so for some of us, we're at that point that you're here this evening and you're like, God, you're calling me to this and I've been stepping away from it. I'm just going to step out and accept it and do it. And so God, for those who are there in that spot, give them the courage to step out and know that you're in control. That you got them. That you got this whole thing. That you're with us right now. And so for any of us, for some of us, it might even just be the fact that, you know what? I'm trying to figure you out, God. I'm trying to get all this stuff dialed in so that I can believe and trust in you. And there's some other things I've got, but ultimately we can't fully figure you out. So there takes faith to just trust in you. And so for some of us, we haven't crossed that step, that line of faith of trusting you with our lives. And so this evening we surrender it to you. Knowing we can't fully understand, but recognizing that you are moving in me. And so for some of us this evening, we surrender to you. We surrender our lives to you. That for all of us this evening, we surrender to you. And so as we surrender to you, God, I ask that you would breathe life into us. Give us vision for the future, hope for tomorrow, and joy today. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In your name, we all said, amen. Amen.